Meanwhile, John and Noreen work out their weekly rendezvous to a science. He never gives the right and wrong of the situation a second thought. That huge project John has taken on has continued to demand overtime, and Mary never suspects a thing. In fact, Mary would have never known Noreen existed if it hadn't been for Jane, her good friend. Through another woman whose husband works in John's division, Jane hears about how cozy he and Noreen are at coffee breaks. She gets suspicious and does a bit of snooping. She discovers John and Noreen's affair and goes right to Mary with the news. At first, Mary does not believe Jane, but when she checks for herself, she catches John red-handed and red-faced. John is shaken because he never believed he'd be discovered. If Mary had never known about Noreen, she could never have been hurt. For the first time, John feels deeply guilty. He begs Mary to forgive him and tries to explain why he did it. "I could see how hard you were working with your studies, and I didn't want to be selfish and demand that we make love. The thing with Noreen just happened, and then I guess I let it continue because I needed it. I never meant to hurt you. Now I can see that I was selfish after all and really stupid. I promise you it won't happen again." Mary is heartbroken and furious. Why couldn't John have said something? Why did he have to betray their marriage in order to meet his needs? For the first time, Mary sees that her drive for her degree has become a booby trap. She weeps uncontrollably, and John feels equally devastated. He begs Mary to forgive him and swears he will never see Noreen again. Because she truly loves John, Mary forgives him and tries to make some changes. She cuts back on classes to make time for tennis again. She tries to make love to John several times a week with passion and enthusiasm. John intends to be faithful, but in the first weeks after the confrontation, he suffers the most severe depression of his life. You see, whether or not he likes it, his love bank has taken its deposits. He now loves Mary and Noreen. John misses Noreen, but he can't leave Mary. In short, John loves and needs both women. They both have substantial balances in his love bank, and he cannot seem to do without either one of them. Hard as he tries, John cannot stay away from Noreen. To relieve his depression, he gets back together with her and finds that she also has been depressed in his absence. She welcomes him back in a wild evening of lovemaking, and they plan more elaborate ways to get together without being discovered. But before long, Mary becomes suspicious, and soon she knows she is sharing her husband with another woman, a woman to whom he has become addicted. What next? At this point, people like John and Mary often end up in my office. He wants to end the affair because of the growing pressure at home. She wants him to get rid of the other woman because it drives her crazy. Often the other woman has now grown tired of being noble and patient. She pressures the husband to divorce his wife and marry her. The trouble is, the erring spouse, in this case the husband, can't bring himself to give up either woman. His lover provides some of his needs, and his wife provides others. He is like a donkey between two bales of hay, but instead of starving to death because he cannot decide which bale to choose, he tries to nibble on both bales. Sometimes I'm able to help, and sometimes I am not. It all depends on whether or not the errant spouse and the lover can be separated permanently, and whether or not the couple can learn to meet each other's basic marital needs. Whatever happened to commitment? Maybe you're still asking yourself, should I be concerned about my spouse having an affair if I don't meet her needs? Should my spouse fear that I might have an affair if my needs are not being met? In reference to the needs described in this book, answer yes. I realize this is not good news. Whatever happened to commitment, you may ask? And what about trust? How can a marriage function if partners can't trust each other? I am all for commitment, and I agree that trust is a vital bonding link in any marriage. But 25 years of experience with thousands of people has taught me an undeniable truth. If any of a spouse's five basic emotional needs goes unmet, that spouse becomes vulnerable to the temptation of an affair. By examining each of these areas of need separately, spouses can learn how to take care of each other in ways that will make their marriages resistant to affairs. More important, their marriages can become far more exciting and fulfilling and trusting than ever before. In the first chapter, I described 10 emotional needs of men and women. While all 10 are shared by both sexes, 5 tend to be rated by women as most important, and the other 5 are rated by men as most important. This disparity between men and women in regard to the priority of these 10 needs makes it difficult for the two sexes to empathize with each other. Why, each asked the other, are these five things so important to you? None of them strikes me as so vital that I couldn't get along without them, at least for a while. What's the matter with you? Because of this lack of understanding, the couple unknowingly works at cross purposes, each trying to fulfill the needs he or she feels, not the needs the mate feels. So wives often easily shower their husbands with affection because they appreciate it and want it so much themselves. Conversely, husbands smother their wives with sexual advances because sex is one of their most pressing needs. Each becomes confused when at best that mate responds with mild pleasure and at worst becomes annoyed, irritated, or frigid. This sort of behavior, in which one spouse gives the other something he or she really doesn't need that badly, becomes self-defeating and destructive. Because the priorities of men's needs are different than the priorities of women's needs, each partner must take the time to discover and recognize the other's most important needs, those with the highest priority. Amazingly, many people think they can do this simply through intuition. But I'm convinced it can only happen as a result of clear communication and effective training. The husband and wife who commit themselves to meet each other's needs will lay a foundation for lifelong happiness in a marriage that is deeper and more satisfying than they ever dreamed possible. In the next two chapters, we will look at the most important need for most women, affection, and the most important need for most men, sex. We will start with the need for affection because when it's met, it lays the groundwork for meeting the need for sex. In numerous counseling situations, I have found men incredibly inept in regard to showing their wives affection. With few exceptions, these men complain bitterly about not enough sex. Meanwhile, their wives, who don't really understand how to have a fulfilling sexual relationship or how to enjoy making love, complain, "All he wants is my body. He never just wants to be affectionate." The frustration that results on both sides can easily lead to an affair and possible divorce. It need not be. Let me show you why.